Welcome to Inside ProMedica, your path to wellness. Brought to you by ProMedica Charles and Virginia Hickman Hospital, where your health is our mission. Each month, we bring you insights from leading medical experts, the latest advancements in care, and essential health tips to keep you and your family well. Let's get started.
This is Kathy Williams, and I'm excited to have Dr. Todd Monroe with me today. He is an interventional cardiologist with ProMedica here at Hickman Hospital. And Dr. Monroe, we're going to talk all about the heart.
That's a good topic.
It is. Well, it is for you.
Right.
So some of us might not be happy about having heart issues. I know we hear often about the signs of having a heart problem. Can you kind of help our listeners get a better grip on what they should be watching for in themselves and, of course, in other people?
Sure. Heart problems can sort of show up in several different ways. The classic signs of what we call angina, which is heart pain related to blockages in the arteries, a lot of times will be described as a pressure sensation in the chest. It can also be maybe a sharp pain, could be a dull pain. Some people describe it as an ache. Usually it's more diffuse. It's not, you can't locate it with just a finger. It's
right.
More like if you put your whole fist over your chest or your hand. It can be band-like. It can be squeezing around the like there's a band around your chest being squeezed. Mm-hmm. You can also have other related symptoms to that. So sometimes people complain of an arm hurting at the same time. Mm-hmm. It can be both arms. It could be one arm. It could be the left or the right. It could be neck. You can feel it in the neck or in your jaw, and some people actually feel like they're having a toothache.
And then other
symptoms such as nausea. Sometimes people will have some vomiting or profuse sweating, diaphoresis.
So I know they do say that if you think you're having a heart attack, take an aspirin right away.
Right. That's a good strategy at first.
Okay.
Usually take an aspirin
and then get to the hospital
as quickly as possible.
Right.
The one thing I'd like to point out is sometimes women may present a little bit differently with their chest discomfort. Their symptoms may be more vague, and they may have these things going on before they actually have their heart attack. So one of the things that women report more than men is more tiredness and fatigue. And it's usually kind of a sudden onset too. You know, it's not a gradual thing. It's something that somebody says, you know, on this particular date, I just started noticing I'm just a lot more tired and fatigued.
Right. Is that because the heart's not pumping enough to give you the energy you need?
I think it's just overall. I just think it's the way women are probably a little bit maybe in more in tune to the way their body is, as opposed to men just kind of ignoring some.
Right.
The men may have these symptoms, but they just kind of ignore
it. Don't really pay attention to them.
Right.
Well, that kind of makes sense.
Yes. Men do tend to ignore quite a bit.
Women are in tune with everything.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So that works really well.
Exactly.
If you're in doubt, you should go to the ER.
Absolutely. It's always better to err on the side of caution.
Right.
It may not be a heart attack, but it's a potentially life-threatening condition.
Right.
And so it's better to be safe.
Right. And so depending on, you probably shouldn't drive yourself either.
No. I mean, if you think that you're having a heart attack, I've seen a lot of bad outcomes when people have either driven themselves or had a family member drive them.
Yeah.
And then that person is faced with a decision, you know, if something bad happens in the car, they're faced with a bad decision as to whether or not you stop or do you keep going.
And then
that's something that they regret, that they didn't do the right thing.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, so calling 911 is always the right answer.
So, Dr. Monroe, there's other conditions that, of course, also affect the heart that could lead to heart attacks or heart problems.
Right.
Help us review some of those, please.
Okay. So we kind of call those the risk factors for developing heart disease. And I like to think of there's probably five main risk factors. The five are, one, a family history. And what I mean by a family history is a family history of something happening at a young age. So if you have a family member who had a heart attack or had to have bypass surgery or stents or had a stroke before the age of 55 or 60, mm-hmm. then that's a family history. And that's something that your offspring may be more inclined to have. Now, a heart attack happening at age 80, that's not something that's necessarily going to be passed on to your kids. Uh-huh. The smoking is also a big one. When you look at probably a bad combination is a family history and smoking together. So, and we're primarily talking about tobacco, but you know, now you have to include other things, vaping. And we don't really know what the association of vaping is because I don't think it's been around
so
long
fresh,
enough.
Yeah, it's
new, but my suspicion is that it's probably, you know, going to be on the spectrum. It may not be as bad as smoking cigarettes, mm-hmm. but it's probably worse than nothing.
Because the lungs then affect the heart.
Right,
and
right.
Itself.
I mean, and this all gets into the bloodstream. And right. so these things, you know, they do affect. Diabetes is a big one. Having either a family history of diabetes or a personal history of diabetes, mm-hmm. you know, is definitely a big risk factor. And then the other two, high blood pressure and high cholesterol.
Okay.
There are things that we can affect going forward. There are things that we can change lifestyle-wise.
Okay.
Blood pressure is one of those things. Diet, cholesterol by exercising and trying to eat healthy.
Okay. And so you don't have to have all of these problems.
No.
You could have one that's the trigger for you.
You know, and unfortunately, then I have the sixth risk factor, which is just being plain unlucky.
Yeah.
I've seen people who, you know, don't have any of these risk factors
yeah.
and it happens. And,
yeah.
and those people are really hard to predict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know of, and many of our community might know of a doctor that years ago was out running, a mm-hmm. super healthy mm-hmm. man that just dropped.
Right, right.
And so, you're unlucky.
I and we have seen or known those people, and it's a shock when that happens.
Yeah, genetics
yes.
just played a
yes.
role against them.
Probably played a role, and we did, and just wasn't recognized.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Did all
yeah.
the things he knew he needed to do,
right.
and yet his genes fought against
yes.
him.
Yes.
Is there a way then of getting your sibling or your children tested to see if they're
so? If you have a family history of premature coronary disease, I think it's not a bad idea to do some sort of testing. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly cholesterol can be tested, and certainly blood pressure can be tested, and those things can be at least the blood pressure can be monitored at home.
Mm-hmm.
Your primary care doctor can also check your for diabetes and checking a fasting blood sugar or hemoglobin A1C. Those are good ways of checking for that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of doing specific things for cardiac, mm-hmm. Getting an EKG, possibly doing a stress test. So sometimes, you know, we may recommend when somebody does have a strong family history at a young age that we have them do a stress test at a younger age.
Okay.
And now there's another non-invasive way of looking for blockages, which is called a coronary CT angiogram. So it basically gives you the same information as a heart catheterization, but it's not invasive, and so the risk of the test is a lot less than what you might experience from a more invasive test like a heart cath.
Gotcha. So, Dr. Monroe, we appreciate you being with us today, and we want to make sure that people know that they can call your office at 517-265-0326 and ask for a consultation. They might not even need any kind of referral, and
that's correct.
Your people at your office are more than able to look that up for
them. I've got a great office staff, and they are very helpful and very friendly and very willing to work with people.
Yeah.
So,
and you have a long history of being a cardiologist. I want to make sure we tell people that.
I've been around for 32 years.
There you go.
So I'm mostly in Toledo, but now I'm up okay. here in Adrian, and very happy to be serving the people of Glenaway County.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That's it for this edition of Inside ProMedica, your path to wellness. We hope you've gained valuable insight into the exceptional care and services available at ProMedica Charles and Virginia Hickman Hospital. For more information or to connect with our healthcare team, visit ProMedica.org/Hickman. Take care, stay well, and join us again on the last Tuesday of each month at 6:20 p.m. for another edition of Inside ProMedica, your path to wellness. You can also listen to these programs as podcasts anytime under the On Air Audio tab at WLEN.com.